Chapter 42. The Terror of Seeming. Sidney Grice was shivering as he set foot on the mossy flagstones by the site of the front door, and I would have offered him my flask, but I knew that he would refuse it. "Do you want to sit down for a while?" I asked.
"Why on earth would I be standing if I did?"
he replied sharply, evidently having composed himself again. His hand was steady as he poured out the last of his tea. "What did you find over there?" I beat some dust off the sleeve of my dress. Sidney Grice swallowed his beverage and drew the test tube out of his top waistcoat pocket.
"What do you make of that?"
The doll leaned over with me, winking suggestively. "It looks like shavings of wood." I wiggled the tube to separate its contents. "With flakes of dark brown paint." Mr. G drained his cup.
"Not paint, March."
His voice rang through the forsaken lands and the ruins of Steep House.
"Varnish. Do you not see? The floor near the main staircase had been varnished."
"But most floors in good houses have been treated with something." I handed him back his find. My guardian slipped the test tube into one of the leather sleeves sewn inside his satchel.
"Yes."
He loosened up his shoulders.
"But some of it has been burned off."
"But it would be in a fire." Not for the first time, I was baffled. Mr. G raised his hands like an Old Testament prophet.
"Have you learned nothing under my masterly tuition?"
His voice fell accusingly.
"It is in the ordinary that most extraordinary is to be found. That is Grice's fourth law."
"I thought it was the ninth," I said. Sidney Grice sniffed. His face was as coated as a miller's at the end of a morning's work.
"I have upgraded it."
The doll and I looked at each other, and her eyes rolled back into her head. A velocipede stood against the trunk of a chestnut tree. The tires had perished, and ragweed wound between the spokes. Perhaps Eric had left it there carelessly when he had raced to the scene, an unthought-of action that lived beyond him and his parents. Mr. G got out a folded patch and tied it. "You do not have a spare with you?"
"I am tired of wearing it."
"Does it hurt?" I asked in concern, though the socket looked a great deal less inflamed than I had known it to be.
"Always."
My guardian's head went down, the weight seemingly too great for his neck.
"Come, March."
His head rose slowly.
"Our work here is done."
Through the poplars on the western boundary, I spotted the slate roof and two chimneys of New House, and we deviated from our path to get a better view, but could still see no lower than the upper floor. "So Lucy must have had a bedroom in that corner," I pointed to the front.
"If their descriptions are to be believed."
"Shall we call on the way home?"
"I have no craving to do so."
"Then I shall."
"As you wish."
We skirted an ornamental pond. Flame-blue dragonflies darted and dipped over it, and my guardian blenched but forced himself to continue.
"My fear of things that flap is rational,"
he explained stiffly as he relocked the gate.
"The fact that you do not share my fear is merely an indication of your irrationality."
I did not reply, for this was one thing I did not want to argue about. He knew it was a weakness. But the anxiety he had exhibited was nothing to the terror Sidney Grice had of seeming to be human.